Good morning, everybody. Here this morning, I was fed here this morning. I was blessed by worshiping the Lord with you all and with brothers opening there. Thank you, Brother Kent, and the children's lesson. One of the needs of the Stump family was exposed this morning there. Brother David, thank you for having that edifying children's lesson. And thank you for lifting up Jesus, Luke, with your family there this morning. And Ryan and Megan, thank you for that testimony of your pilgrimage thus far. And I appreciated your thought there on being saved. We are being saved. We're not home yet. And we walk by faith. I also was invigorated by Wednesday evening's topic on faith, and the thing that jumped out at me the most was the first verse. Now, faith is the substance. It says in the margin of my Bible, the assurance of the things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of those things that we hope for. And that's why we can rejoice that we have a home in heaven, even though we haven't received it yet and we haven't seen it yet. That's why we can rejoice in the Lord Jesus. We can rejoice in the forgiveness of our sins. It's by faith, but it's an assurance. Faith is an assurance of having received those things that we hope for. So I guess this is a bit of a continuation of that. It really wasn't my message here wasn't really from Wednesday evening's Bible study, but I guess as I look at it now, it's sort of a continuation of that. I would like to read here in John chapter 1, verse 19. And I think we'll read to the end of the chapter. Let's stand while we read. And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and declared not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? Which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, change us today through your word. Help us to see the Lord Jesus high and lifted up today through the written word. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips and give us all ears to hear. Help us today, Lord. We are poor and needy in our soul. Just like we heard in the testimonies this morning. There dwelleth no good thing in me that is in my flesh. So we look unto Jesus this morning. Thank you, Father, for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Christ. We love you today, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Well, I also found this portion of Scripture invigorating lately. And specifically here about Nathanael and the faith that he had here in believing in Christ. And I wanted to read the scriptures preceding it to give us a little bit of background. And it's interesting to note here that John the Baptist did not know who was the coming Messiah. He was preaching a coming Messiah. He was preaching a message, make straight the way of the Lord. The Lord is coming. The Lord is among us. But it doesn't seem like he knew until this point here, when Jesus was ready to start his ministry, that he was assured. Maybe he had some ideas, but it seems like he wasn't assured until this moment here, when he said, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. He knew that he had a calling from God upon his life to prepare the way for the Lord. And it was also clear in his mind that he wasn't the one. And he was very clear on that to those who came and said, "Are you that man?" Because Jesus' own words of John the Baptist was, "Not a greater has been born among women. There's not a greater man been born upon the earth, of the Adamic nature that is, than John the Baptist. A quite an unusual man and quite an anointing upon his life." And because he was such an unusual man and such an anointed man, and I believe men traveled from maybe all over the known world then to hear him preach, because they heard about this man. And he went out into the wilderness and he lived a different life than the average man in that day lived. And they came to hear him preach. And so people started wondering, well, he's preaching a message of preparation for the Lord, but maybe he is the one. So they started going and questioning him. Are you sure you're not the one? Well, John even says in verse 31, "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So he had his eyes open. He wasn't sure who it was, but he knew that God was going to make it clear to him who it is. And so he was watching, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon Jesus' head. And then he was assured. Then he knew without the shadow of a doubt. And then he was able to say, and as I pondered it here in my meditations, I realized that probably for years, John was agonizing over this. "Lord, who is it? Lord, show me, make it clear. Who is this Messiah? Who is the Christ that is among us?" And I think it was very much a part of his prayer life. "Lord, don't let me miss it." And when he saw it that day, all of a sudden, the years of his desiring to see and know who is this Messiah, he was able to say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." It was finally a release and a relief in his heart and in his spirit, and he was able to say, "There's the man. No, I'm not the man, but there he is. There is the Christ. This is the Son of God." And the next day, after he had two of his disciples with him, and again, he saw Jesus, and it just came out of his mouth again, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Look, there he is." Well, this is quite an exciting, excitement that's going on here in this chapter, as you see, as you read down through here. And these men are going and telling their friends, their family, that we have found the Christ. It wasn't because Jesus came saying, "Ho, everyone, I'm the Messiah." It was because this one, this anointed one that came preaching the way of the Lord, making straight, this voice that was crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." This voice also was the one saying, "Here he is. This is the one. And the people were able to believe because they believed John. They knew he was anointed. And they knew that if he saw it, if he saw the Spirit of God descending on this man's head, and he was saying that this is the one, then this must be the one. And they believed, and they believed enough to go and tell their friends. You know, when we have a doubt in our heart, we're not so quick to go and tell someone, are we? But when we are assured and it's rock solid in our heart that this is the Messiah, we're not afraid to go and tell someone. And Philip, we're coming here now down to Nathanael. Philip, Jesus found Philip and he said unto him, follow me. And I'd like to preach a message on that, but we'll keep going here to Nathanael. When after Philip started following Jesus there, he went and found Nathanael. And Nathanael said, Jesus of Nazareth? Nazareth. He had his preconceived ideas about Nazareth. The son of Joseph? Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph? Are you sure? Is that the one? Well, Philip said, come and see. So before he even got to him, Jesus said, ah, Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed. One that is for real. One that is an Israelite in heart. In whom is no guile. In other words, his profession and his conduct agreed. His words and his heart harmonized. He wasn't saying one thing with his mouth and living another thing with his heart, with his life. In secret, he was the same person that he was when he was in public. And what assures us of that is the fig tree experience. Now, I'm not good at titling messages, but I told Brother Robert back there that we're going to title it Under the Fig Tree. Jesus said, or felt, Nathanael said, how did you know me? Well, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, Jesus had some very strong words to the Pharisees who liked to pray on the street corners and who liked to fast and disfigure their faces to let everyone know they were fasting and making sure they made lots of noise when they were putting their money into the offering to see to make sure everyone knew how much money they were putting in the offering basket. And but Nathanael obviously wasn't one of those. He was, as Jesus called, an Israelite indeed. He had something in his heart. And apparently, he has been listening to John the Baptist, and his heart is all worked up, and he's reading the Old Testament, and he's seeing that a deliverer is going to come, and now here's John the Baptist, and he's saying he's among you, he's about ready to make himself known to you, and Nathanael is under the fig tree. And it was a place where he was all alone and no one knew he was there, he thought. And this is the picture that I get of it, that he was wrestling alone with God under the fig tree. He thought nobody saw him. But he was reading the Word of God. And he had these wrestlings going on in his heart. Lord, show me the Christ. Show me the Messiah. I want to follow the Messiah. And Jesus said, well, I know you because I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael knew he was all alone. This is my suppositions here. And it wasn't like Jesus walked by in person and like anybody else could walk by and see Nathanael under the fig tree. But I believe Nathanael was there all alone, wrestling with God for a deliverer, for that lamb, that perfect sacrifice that would take care of this sin problem in his heart. Maybe moaning and groaning under the weight and under the burden of an unclear conscience and desiring to know the King of Israel. And when Jesus said, the reason I know you is because I saw you. I saw you there on the fig tree. And the light came on in Nathanael's heart. And he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. He, in a moment, put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? In other words, Jesus was saying, if you can believe with just such one of the little things that would prove that I am the Christ, thou shalt see greater things than these. So, I guess that's the introduction here to my message. It says here, in the loftiest region of spiritual experience, you must believe first in order to see. The world says, seeing is believing. The spiritual man says, believing is seeing. And, you know, I didn't know a lot about the theology of faith when I was born again. But I all of a sudden started seeing. And the spiritual things all of a sudden became a reality to me. The scales came off of my eyes. I believed and then I saw. You must believe first in order to see. If we trust Him, we get light on things which are mist and darkness except to faith. Believing is seeing in regards to God and in regards to spiritual truth. And if we, brothers and sisters, can have our own fig tree experience and be assured of the Christ, of the Messiah, of the sin sacrifice that was offered for you and I, we will see more things. We won't just see Christ as the blood sacrifice that was shown to us through the Old Testament, all of the blood that was sacrificed, it was all pointing to this blood sacrifice. And John could say, behold the blood sacrifice. Here is the blood sacrifice. Jesus said, if you can believe in this one little experience, you will see greater things. You just keep believing and you will see. You will be convinced that I am the Christ. And I'd like to just look at these verily, verilys that Jesus gave us here in the book of John. When Jesus says, verily, verily, we should sit up and take notice. It is truth. Above everything that you can see and feel and touch and smell and feel here on this earth, these verily, verilies are more true, are more real, are going to be realities through the eye of faith, that is. And I would like to just look at these verily, verilies as the greater things that Nathanael saw through the eye of faith. And in verse 51 here, it was seeing heaven reopened. And you know, I have to think about the very beginning when the first Adam fell, when he sinned and was cut off from God. He was turned out of the garden. He was, in a sense, turned out of heaven. And that angel with that flaming sword was put there at the entrance to the garden. And so he no longer could see heaven. He never longer could have that fellowship with God. It was cut off. Here, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Here we have the answer to the sin problem and the answer to that being cut off from God. And we have heaven opened up again to us through this Son of Man, this Lamb of God. Yes, Nathanael, greater things than what you experience there under the fig tree is that you can be brought back into fellowship with God. I believe Jesus was saying one of the things he was saying here. He says, Jesus says this again in John chapter 3. And I'd like to contrast these verily, verilies with, in I believe in every age, there are the doubters and the disputers and the mockers and those who try to confuse you and would like to say that there's nothing, everything's relative. There's nothing that's real and true and concrete and solid. But I assure you this morning that these verily, verilies of Christ are rock solid against all of the changing fashions and everything that time has brought around and that goes around and comes around. This is timeless. This is real. This is eternal. Okay, we have another verily, verily in John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, here we have the thing that Nathanael was wrestling for, I believe, under the fig tree. He was, I can see, sick and tired of himself. And as he knew himself and as he, the experience that he had, the relationship that he had with God, he wanted more. He wanted truth. He wanted reality. He was an Israelite indeed. He was sincere in his heart and he was seeking after God. He was seeking after a real experience. And because he believed, I believe when Jesus gave these words, he was one of the first ones to be born again because he believed. He had already believed on Christ. And when he saw what he needed to do, that he needed to be born again, I don't think there was any hesitation in his heart because his faith was real. Though it didn't have a lot to attach itself to, it was real. And when Jesus gave these verily verilies, he was able to receive it. So I ask you the question, how's your fig tree experience? Has faith risen up in your heart to believe that what Jesus said, he meant, and it's real, and it can be my experience? Let's see what he says in John chapter 5. So, not only was he able to see heaven opened in Christ, there in John chapter 3, he was able to enter into this kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. In John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." So here we have the Lord Jesus having the power to give life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, it says in verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, as exciting as that is, if we can't receive that by faith, if we won't believe, it can't be a reality to us. And Christ won't be real in our heart and life. But I believe Nathanael wrestled under the fig tree and he came to a place of faith in that Jesus is the Son of God. And he experienced that life, that law of life, that whosoever believeth on him hath everlasting life. Okay, John chapter 6. I believe these are the greater things that Nathanael experienced in walking with Jesus and following him these next 3 years of his life. In John chapter 6, verse 26, and I don't know, there's a lot here. But he says, Jesus answered them, verse 26, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Let's go down to verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And let me just jump over here. Let's start here maybe. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now we're getting to the real meat. Now it's coming to a point where Jesus is not just soft peddling anything. And he's saying some hard things for them to understand. And if you didn't have that fig tree experience like Nathaniel had, you're going to start questioning, well, is this the Son of God? What is he saying? These are hard things to understand. Eat of him, drink of him, live forever. And, you know, you have to understand that even the disciples still at this point were believing that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom and they were going to be his right-hand men and they were going to rule over Jerusalem and they were going to have an earthly kingdom here. So even they must have been confused, but the disciples didn't turn away because they had that fig tree experience and they knew that this is the Son of God. And I don't understand. There's some mysteries here, but I believe. And again, I'm sure Nathaniel, in taking that stand, in taking that step, and, you know, we don't have his experience here, but we know that he didn't turn back from following after Christ. And we know that he followed through to the day of Pentecost and was one that was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so, even though he might have been questioned here, or his faith might have been his faith might have been shaken, yet because of that, the reality of that fig tree experience, where he wrestled through with God, he knew, no, I'm going to put my faith in the Son of God. There are some things here I don't understand today, but I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Against all odds. So, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, even though Nathanael didn't understand this liberty that Jesus was talking about here in its fullness, in its reality, in his experience, yet because he believed, he did experience that. And my encouragement here this morning is that we don't doubt what Jesus has said. Go through And mark the verily, verilies that Jesus said. And know assuredly that it is the truth. And it is as true as any truth you will ever come upon in this life. No matter what breakthroughs the scientists come out with, or anything they find in space to prove that that God is real, these things are as rock solid as anything you will find or experience in this life and for all eternity. In John chapter 8, again, verse 48, Jesus is talking about his divinity. Verily, verily, in this, verse 51, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. You are lifting up Abraham. You think you're following Abraham. Well, before Abraham was, I am. Well, if you believe that he was the Son of God, it wasn't hard to hear that statement that day. Yes, that's right. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He was before Abraham. Let's go to chapter 10 here. Verse 1 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 7 says, and we're not getting the whole point here. We don't have time to cover it all. I should read all those verses. But verse 7 says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here Jesus is lifting up before us a life of service. We are to follow him as he told Philip there, follow me. That's all he told him, just follow me. And in the same way that he has laid down his life, we should lay down our lives for one another. And if faith is alive and a reality in our hearts, that's not hard to do, is it? But when our faith wavers and we wonder, what do I get out of this? And we start looking through earthly eyes, then we don't receive life. But if we will lay down our life and follow the Lord Jesus by faith, we can experience that life. In John 12, verse 24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, any natural man that hears this is going to be confused. And I'm sure the disciples had to wrestle again. How can this be one of the greater things? I'm sure even when Nathanael heard that greater things than these shall you see and experience in your life. Well, I don't think he thought of dying to himself as being one of those greater things. But God's ways are not our ways. And we must walk by faith and not by sight. And the exciting thing is that when we walk by faith and experience the realities of what Jesus talked about, then in a sense, our faith becomes rewarded, and we can start experiencing and knowing what Jesus is talking about. That this Christian life is a spiritual life, and it's got to be experienced spiritually. And though this outward man needs to perish, the inward man is renewed. And we realize that receiving honor one of another here is not our goal in life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, okay, John 13. And here we find the lowliness of Jesus and humbling himself in front of his needy disciples, bowing down before them, serving them, washing their feet. Verse 16, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." Verse 20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Here in this chapter, we see the lowliness of Jesus, and he's our perfect example, and we are to follow him. And he says, where does he say that? "Happy are you if you do these things." Verse 17. "Oh, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So this humility that Jesus was living out before them is something that needs to be a reality in our life. And it's part of that faith that we can only receive it by faith. We can only humble ourselves by faith. And again, unless we find our fig tree, that place where we can get alone with God and wrestle with him in prayer and search the scriptures, only then will we know the reality of faith and the reality of these things that Jesus is saying is truth and is real. John 14, verse 12 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Wow, that's convicting, isn't it? I can't say that I have experienced the fig tree in this way, or I haven't spent my time under the fig tree to come to this place. That whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I know there are different individuals that I have asked God to save them, bring them to a place of surrendering their wills to the Lord Jesus, and I haven't seen it happen yet. But again, if our faith is wavering on this point of answered prayer, don't be discouraged. Don't give up, but rather go back to the fig tree where you can be assured that God is who He said He is. And He does want to be that real in our life. That whatsoever we shall ask in His name, that will He do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. It's for the glory of Jesus. Okay, John chapter 16. Verse 20 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." And again, if we will but believe, if we will but get under the fig tree, find ourselves alone with God, and allow Him to break upon our conscience, greater things than these, He told Nathanael, will you experience. Here he's saying that in right now it seems like I'm just speaking Proverbs to you, but the day is coming. It's not very far off. I will show you plainly of the Father. And I'm sure that on the day of Pentecost, the lights came on in their hearts. And I believe Nathanael's mind went back to that day when he put his faith in the Son of God. When he knew, when he was persuaded in his heart that this is the Son of God. And all of a sudden, all of the things that he taught them through those years and everything that he said that was so hard to understand started making sense. Verse 15 of chapter 21. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? So here we have after Jesus has already been resurrected and he's about to ascend up into heaven and pour out the Holy Spirit upon them, he's giving them one last admonition. Follow me. Just follow me. And even though I'm going, follow me. And if we can believe, if we can put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, though we don't understand what all he may require of us, as Nathanael understood so little, but yet because that seed of faith was enough for him to believe that Jesus was the Christ, everything that came along was just a stepping stone in that step of faith, in his walk of faith. And it became reality to him. And I think one day, if you are faithful and get to talk to our brother Nathanael, he'll say, oh, so much greater were the things that Jesus did in my life. I was shocked over and over again. And I believe that these verily, verilies that Jesus said, these truths that Jesus gave, were the meat and potatoes, the backbone of what Jesus was referring to when he said, greater things than these shall you see. Greater things than these shall you experience. Well, I long to have more fig tree experiences in my life. My confession is that faith has dwindled in my heart many times in my Christian walk. And many times I have let the cares of life drown out the word, and faith becomes small. But my heart is also beating for these realities, these greater things that Jesus has for me and for us. And I am persuaded that that fig tree has a lot of answers for me. And it was an encouragement in my walk with God this week. And just want to encourage you all to find the fig tree this week and to get alone with God until you know, until you're convinced that Jesus is the Christ, till you are convinced that he wants to do greater things in your life. He wants to answer prayer in your life in a greater way. And he wants to have a sweeter union and communion in your heart this week.
A couple of thoughts there. I wondered whether perhaps the Nathanael was under the fig tree in the middle of the night, and he knew that no passerby could have seen him. He was hidden away in there, and the branches and the leaves come down, you know, and there he was, and seeking God, seeking the face of God. And then Jesus said, I saw you in there. And he knew that whoever would have seen him in that situation must be supernaturally empowered, and therefore believed that he was the Messiah. The other thing I thought about was how, about the bread of life, I had to think of how the cumbersome job of gathering manna in the wilderness when the children of Israel were in the wilderness daily, gathering manna. And now he says, I'm the bread of life. If you eat of me, eat this bread, you'll never get hungry again. My, what a refreshing thought that when we get the Lord Jesus Christ, we never hunger and we never thirst. And I have to say, in my Christian life, I have never hungered for anything other. My search was over. I didn't have to go looking for something else to fill the void of my life. I needed more of him, and I needed to give more of myself to him. That was an experience that I knew. But I knew I had found him, and he was the bread of life, the water of life to me. Well, that is a blessing compared to what it was like in the wilderness. Yes. Moses struck the rock, the water gushed out, they filled themselves, but got thirsty again. But not so when you meet Jesus Christ as a water of life under the fig tree or wherever your experience, your personal and private reality experience takes place, and you get a drink like you never had before. Bless the Lord. That's him. May none of us miss it. Anyone else have a testimony? Raise your hand. We'll get your microphone. All right, in the back there, Brother Jeff.
Yeah, I can say amen to the message. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. I was thinking of two different thoughts here in the close of the message. And one's kind of like you said there, Mose, about maybe he was in the dark.
Yeah.
But, you know, I grew up down in the Gulf Coast, and we had a lot of fig trees. And fig trees are wider than they are tall. They're actually more like big giant bushes the way they grow. So to be under the fig trees, to be in the fig tree, and their leaves are big and they're hidden. And you're hidden. If you get up under a fig tree, unless it's been pruned a special way, you're out of sight.
Amen.
Nobody can see you. But, you know, it's like that verse in Hagar, thou God seest me, you know.
Yeah.
God saw him. And God sees me when I'm in the fig tree, Amen. When I'm under the fig tree. And I'm hidden from all, and I'm seeking him. Isn't that wonderful? No, not only does he see us, he seeks us out.
Amen.
And he calls us, and he... And, you know, the greater things, he said, greater things you're going to see. Then again, he said, verily, verily, greater things you'll do, he said to his disciples. And, you know, isn't it wonderful that we don't just have to camp on that day that Jesus saved us as the greatest thing that happened. But 20 years later, 30 years later, 10 years later, however long you've been walking with God, it should be greater.
Yeah.
The keeping power of God, the fellowship, the understanding, the correction. God is good. And I verily, verily, I'm just so blessed with that.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Someone else? The last day of the year, if you want to say anything for the Lord this year, you'd better do it now. Up here. Not quite the last day, but the last Sunday, I should say.
Yeah, a couple of things that I thought of as Dean was sharing there. One, I think the one thing that touches me the most, and obviously it was touching Dean too, about when Jesus says to Nathanael that he saw him under the fig tree, I think there's it's assumed that he cares about what was going on there. You know, it wasn't just that Jesus had supernatural power and Nathanael said, oh, wow, if you have that kind of power, you must be the Son of God. But it was more that what touches the heart is that not only does Jesus see you in those times, those private wrestlings, but what touches the heart is that he cares about those private wrestlings. And then also, I was thinking about what Jesus promised him. He didn't say to Nathanael, "Oh, you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree, you'll see me raise Lazarus from the dead. You'll see me heal lame men and blind men by the hundreds." You know, he didn't say any of the things that Nathanael would see in his life. Mm-hmm. But I think Dean did right to start by saying it's a continuance of faith, because he actually pointed to a day way beyond and says, there's going to come a day when I'm coming back to the earth and angels will ascend and descend upon the Son of Man. You're going to see a day when this world is going to be totally different, and I'm going to rule here, and there's going to be angelic connection between heaven and earth in such a way you never saw. Now, Nathan never saw that, or Nathanael never saw that in his life. But by faith, he could see that and say, I know that's true.
And he will.
Someday. He will.
And so will I. Along with the rest of us who are faithful in the Lord. Marcus.
I just thought about the verse, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and they that go forth and weep at bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I just thought that fit very good with the message, that if we cry out to God, and like Nathanael, that there will come a time when He'll hear that, and he'll reward that person, and even for other people, or you know, he'll reward that.
Mm-hmm. Over here, Rachel.
Well, I want to actually, because this is the last Sunday of the year, I want to just reflect back on the past year, the blessings that God had for us and took care of us all this year, and I just want to be faithful to him, and
Amen.
I do want him to increase my faith. It takes faith to believe that he is the Christ. I just thank him for all the blessings and everything, that even though there were sicknesses and all of that, but the blessings still were greater than the than that. And I just want to bless God for that. And thanks for the message, too.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.